It's time for Mac Break Weekly. It looks like we have a date and we have a location for the iPhone announcement. We'll kind of plow through some of the rumors, see what's true, what's not. We've got a great team for doing that. Renee Ritchie, Alex Lindsay, and Annie Anako are here. Mac Break Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 573, recorded Tuesday, August 29th, 2017. A savage flick. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a good night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/MacBreak and enter the promo code MacBreak. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you looking to hire a tech professional? With ZipRecruiter, you can post to 100-plus job boards, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/twit. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from the Appleverse. Well-versed in Apple he is, from iMore.com, Renee Ritchie, Mr. Pokemon Go. Hello, Renee.
I try to fit in a little bit of the Apple stuff in between the Pokemon Go.
Every once in a while.
Anyway, it's all ARKit and ARCore now, so I'm back in business.
The king of the Northeast diner, Andy Anako, is also here from the Chicago Sun-Times, wearing his Pixar cap.
Yes, my occasion when I'm feeling that I need some more nerd cred, I try to wear a hat or something that I says, like, I'm sorry, you can't get this. You have to know some. You have to be there. You know, you can't just go there. You got to have friends or business inside Pixar to go to the company store.
Very nice. Very nice. And the man who puts the video in video toaster, Mr. Alex Lindsay from the PixelCore.
I've never actually used a video toaster. I tried.
He wasn't allowed. We found out.
I didn't know enough about computer graphics back then.
So they forced him to use this funky old program called Photoshop, and the rest is history.
Yep.
The guy, the video toaster expert, he's on the street. But you've
my video toaster was taken away and replaced with an Opal Vision, and I'm still sad about it.
Opal Vision. Wow.
Opal Vision was the Australian video toaster.
Oh, interesting.
Oi.
It shows how hard it is to pick a winners and losers, isn't it? You just don't know. You just don't know.
Like if you stalk the entire NYPD with Windows Phone. I mean, you just don't know.
Well, it's not official.
I saw that story too.
I missed it. What was the reference to? Say it again.
They're replacing all. They just NYPD went with Windows Phone for their mobile solution, and now they're replacing them all with iPhones.
Because it turns out the Windows phones
did not have the extended life that they were hoping for.
when de Blasio announced they were going to give 36,000 officers Windows phones, they said, "You know, technology revolution. It's changing the way police officers work.
They'll have Excel on their phones."
Oh, Lord, that is so depressing. Millions of dollars down the tubes. I bet you Microsoft said, you know, all sorts of things, make custom apps for you and all that. They're getting iPhones.
Yeah, the head of IT just put out a big stirring defense of her argument saying, well, we needed Windows compatibility and they had the best security, which I actually don't think was true, but I think they were about as good as the other guys. But and that it was well under cost, but people are still pointing out that, well, if you have to replace them all, it's not really under cost.
Yeah, they're getting 36,000 iPhones. There's some cost there.
But will they get an 8? That's the question. Will they wait and get...
Well, they won't have to wait long. 2 weeks from today, according to the Wall Street Journal...
Have the invites gone out?
No.
Andy?
No.
In a week, they'll
go
out.
It's too early. Apple won't give us this much notice. Andy might be walking already.
Well, it's really like a week ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
So we got to get you a subscription to the Wall Street Journal there, Carson. I can see you're getting cut off.
This was a very nervous story for me. Like you're reading this. So CNBC had the same story, but they just said September 12th. And the Wall Street Journal added this color to it saying that it was going to be at the Steve Jobs Theater.
Yes.
But the Steve Jobs Theater may not be finished in time, so they might change the date and or location.
Yeah, that was right at the bottom of the article. However, however, should the Jobs Theater not be done, they could do it somewhere else. Yeah,
this is town hall, Leo. Like, really, 500 of us just standing nose to nose in town hall.
Well, that's part of the problem. Is I don't know if you can book the Bill Graham Auditorium on such short notice. Maybe they. I mean, Tuesdays is not a busy day.
The advantage for Bill Graham, as far as I remember, is that they didn't need as much time. For some of the other venues, they were required by union rules or something to get extra days before, and they didn't want to leave the venues open for as long as Apple wanted to just work on them. They thought it was bad for their image if they weren't seen as busy all year. So Apple came to an agreement with Bill Graham, but that's still, like you said, a lot of headway.
Here is the latest drone footage with the Steve Jobs Theater prominently featured. Let's see. Are they done? Are they ready?
Can you see the iPhone in it?
Can you see the iPhone? All the solar panels are in. And we know staff's moving in, right? Look at that. They've kind of got, there's the lobby. Let me get rid of this picker here. There's the lobby, and they've got, you know, the little trees in there and stuff, and lights and candles and things. But there's still equipment. And look at the, wait a minute. I'm going to go back a little bit here. See the grass? The grass is kind of in, they have a lawn. Look at that. Is that synthetic or lawn? Well, as we were saying, you could roll out turf pretty quickly. That, you know, wouldn't take.
It would take them a week to put turf out. I mean, it wouldn't be much to do it. And that's the way you do it. You don't want to seed things anymore.
No, yeah. You just buy the turf. Let me jump ahead to the.
Unless Johnny is laying it by hand, you know, cutting it by eye, bespoke lawn thinning.
Although that is kind of an interesting data point. Like Alex says, you put down the lawn as the last thing you do when you're expecting people in or when you're expecting to show it off.
Right.
Because you don't know, you know that the lawn will be beautiful and green and perfect for a week. You don't know what it's going to look like in a couple of weeks until it roots in and takes. So that, I don't know, maybe that's an indication that they're planning for a lot of important people to be seeing that in person, not through a drone camera.
I feel like this could be done. This is late August. I think
if it was at all that's late August. It doesn't.
The guy's sweeping. They got people sweeping. That usually means the major construction's done. They can see there's a guy mopping and a guy sweeping.
I know all the press want to be there. You know, like that's where everyone wants to go. So.
I've actually I contacted people at Apple. Said, what do I need to do? Who do I need to bend a knee to? To get in there. See that?
You can't use Skype with your laptop.
Well, I said I promise not to be rude and break any rules, and I don't know. I feel like they're close. But the point you made, Andy, last week was, well, do you mind bringing people in when there's patently unfinished stuff around? I think that looking at this, you 2 weeks from now, you could have an event there.
They could get it in shape. It's certainly no accident that the Steve Jobs Theater is, again, it's not inside the campus. It's way on the side so that, again, a car can come in off the highway, go in there, and not really be on the campus itself. So, again, if it were really important to them, they could get it looking presentable, even if it only had to look presentable for a week.
Right.
The question is that I could make the argument either way, that Apple is the sort of company that says, hey, this building is going to be here for 50 years. We're going to be here for 50 years. There's going to be a first event at some point. It doesn't have to be this one. Or I could also see them saying that, well, you know, we're very proud of this achievement. And even though we can't show off the entire campus at this point to Architectural Digest or to Stephen Levy, now that although the pictures have been hung, let's at least show people why we're so proud and so excited about this. Yeah. So I honestly don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Part of it, of course, is this issue of, not only do you have to book a different venue, but you have to set it up. Yeah. And usually, when do they start putting up banners and putting paper on the windows and stuff like that? Usually
that's
around now,
towards
right?
Towards the end. I think they do the beginnings. Yeah. Like Bill Graham Center, famously, they put in air conditioning for the entire venue.
Yeah, but a lot of that will happen a week before. I don't think they would need to do it before.
A week would be enough
time. Or just an event.
Yeah.
WWDC takes longer to build up, but I think that you know, just for an event. I mean, a typical event production, if you weren't adding air conditioning, people would start loading in 3 days before the event.
Okay. And you would, Alex would know, by the way, he does big events like this all the time with Pixel.
Yeah. Board. So, I mean, I don't think that they would need to start loading in until after Labor Day, to start making that happen. And they probably send out the invitations will probably go out before they started loading in anywhere. To kind of get that over with is my guess. And I think that they made a decision about where they were going to be, you know, in June, like in July. Like, I don't think that they're not, you know, we may be, you know, talking about it. They're not going to rush the finish. You know, Apple's not going to rush the construction or rush anything for them to just do it there.
The whole point of building this. And by the way, the Wall Street Journal said 1,000 seats, which is comparable in size to the Bill Graham, right?
It's smaller.
It's a little smaller. Yeah, but they don't use all that. I mean, the last time they had an event there.
You don't use the mezzanine.
I think it was 1,500 people. Yeah.
Bigger. Yeah.
Oh, well, there was a lot of Apple engineers and a huge demo area.
Right.
The thing to remember is that you have millions of people watching the live stream. There's no, I mean, anything over 300 people is just optics.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think I do think that there's a prior. One of the priorities is we have to have enough bodies in there so that we get a lot of crowd noise.
Right.
That is no. It's no good. It's no good to have
the press sits on their hands.
Well, because the press aren't cheerleaders. The press are taking notes and press are, doing their jobs. So I would think that that's part of their priority too. That if they can get more bodies, more cheering, again, more, and also to be less cynical about it. The Apple employees are really pleased to be at that place too. They're proud of the work they did. So more people who work on this, they get to be at the event. It's like a field trip day from school. So.
And 2 years ago, they also made a conscious choice to have a bigger demo area because of the Apple TV. So they needed all those, I think it was 10 mock living rooms. And also they wanted international press. So there was less U.S. press, which caused, you know, consternation amongst U.S. media, but a lot more Chinese and Asian and European press at the event. So
well, and if the rumors are accurate, we're going to see a lot of new products, including a new Apple TV. So you're going to see a new Apple Watch. You're going to see three, not two, but three new iPhones, an Apple Watch, an Apple TV. You might want some demo space. I don't know. I mean, seeing in these images is what's downstairs. This is the entryway, but you see, you go down escalators on either side.
Yeah.
And that's
where the demo area might be.
All this stuff is below. We don't know what's down there what shape it's in.
To me, that's one of the most fascinating areas of the new campus next to Johnny Iveland, because you know how sticklers they are for detail, how much they like control, and also how far they're willing to go during a press event to make sure that things are just so. Now imagine that they're building a theater, a bespoke theater specifically for Apple's needs, and it's not a Game of Thrones premiere night parties. It's going to be there's going to be really good green room areas so that when Elvis Costello comes in, he has a very lovely place to stay. It's going to be easier when you have private briefings for some press to make sure that they get corralled off without having to like diss other members of the press by removing them bodily, having an archangel drop in and send Renee to walk towards the light and stuff like that. Like I said earlier, I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't do a Disneyland sort of thing where there is, again, a very well-appointed tunnel from the theater to the main campus so that, again, Tim and the rest can just simply get in and get out without having to go through crowds. Not just for privacy, but just for speed, that
they come up and they emerge standing in the stage in a puff of smoke. And then when they're done, they disappear into the stage and it's gone and they're gone.
Well, I just wonder if they're going to roll out the teleporters where they just teleport onto
beam
the stage.
Them in.
You're like,
so here's the thing to look for. Is there heavy machinery? Is there any equipment in the vicinity of the theater? And I'm going to jump back a little bit so you could see the actual
What was
vicinity.
The date on this post?
This one is, it says late August, so I think I'm going to go back a little bit more. I don't see any earth-moving equipment around here. I don't see any heavy machinery. There is a little lift, but that would you be used to clean windows or something like that. There's a tractor. I think they're done with the heavy machinery in that area.
Well, I understand they also saved a lot of time by moving just the headstones and leaving the bodies there, which is not going to. And they
it is on an old Indian gravesite, and I understand it will be haunted for every event. No, I'm just kidding. This is look at there. People in the R&D facility. This is already occupied. Here, let me go back. That you can see all of those tables and chairs. There are people in the parking lot. Oh boy, I bet you know what I'm going to say. I'm going to put my money on September 12th at Apple Park at the Steve Jobs Theater. That's what I'm going to put my money on. It is the 10th anniversary iPhone, after all, which was Steve's greatest accomplishment. The theater is named after him. And frankly, the Wall Street Journal usually has pretty good sources in this stuff, right? They just say people in the know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll know by next week. I would think by next Tuesday you would have your invitations, those Hopefully. Of you who are getting them. And I, as I said, I'm lobbying hard because I want to be there with you guys.
Awesome.
I want to be there. I think I've been in purgatory long enough. 7 years is long. Almost 8 years is long enough to be in purgatory. I've done my penance. I'm going to bend a knee to Tim Cook. And
You know, it would help. Now, since you have that beautiful huge screen Windows machine and a pencil, if you wrote "I will not disrupt the event in any way" 100 times, like Bart Simpson, line after line after line, by hand.
I mean, Apple's not
no cut, copy and paste
to disrupt.
of course, we are writing on a Windows.
Hey, they can't hold that against me. I'm wearing an Apple Watch. I got an iPad here. I got an iPhone in my pocket. They can't hold that against me. I promise not to disrupt your event. I will follow all rules.
Apple's not always the quickest to embrace. Like, there was a whole thing, brouhaha at WWDC, because no podcasters got invited. And podcasters thought, you know, they're a legitimate form of media.
Hey,
and there is.
Hey. I host a nationally syndicated radio show on traditional media every weekend for
thousands of people.
No, million. One million listeners every weekend. That's the reach. How could you turn me down? I don't care. It's fine. I said, if I can't go, can Megan go? Actually, what I did is I talked to the iTunes guys because, you know, James and Steve and Tom. Yeah. And then Tom brought up, tell him what you did, Leo, that got you on the blacklist. I said, there's a blacklist? He says, no, there's no blacklist.
All those PR people are gone anyway, Leo.
That's, you know, Katie Cotton had it in for me, but she's gone. I actually don't even know who to talk to. So I asked James, and James said, I'll send you some names. I'll talk to people. So he's going to put a good word in for me. And he's been around. He's a big wig over there. He's a big guy. Yeah. Nice guy. Thank you, James.
Yeah.
I would like to go. I will be polite. I won't be rude. I'm excited. I'm going to buy an iPhone, the new iPhone. I'll spend the $1,000. Is it going to be that expensive, Renee? Do you think that's outrageous? Or
I mean, $1,000, given what the Galaxy Note 7.
$960 for a Note 8. $960.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the new upper tier for premium
Jeez
phones.
Louise. Although, I got half off because I bought a Note 7.
Ooh.
I bought my Note 8. I just bought it this morning because I realized I could save that much. I mean, it's like giving me $400.
Apple won't give you credit for the Note 7.
If you can get, well, by the way, you have to trade in a phone, and it could be an iPhone, but it won't be. Okay.
Yeah.
I have my Note 5. I don't have my Note 7. I had to give it in. But because if you bought a Note 7 and you're in their database, which apparently I was because I gave my email address, they said, okay, good. You can buy for, I think it was $450 or something like that, a Note 8. And we'll expedite it to you. They said they really felt bad, Samsung, about that whole Note 7 thing. But I have to send them, and then I don't even have to send them the phone to get the new phone. I just have to take the box they send me the new phone in and put my old Note 5 in there and send it back to them. Mm. That's a good deal.
You know, think about how excited we all get when Black Friday said, do you realize Apple's offering $10 off the iPhone 7? Quick.
Well, that's the testament to how important this next phone is. And by the way, I'm still holding out for iPhone Pro. I think that's the name. I'm sure of it. And I think that, so I'm going to call it that. The iPhone Pro will be worth it. I think this is going to be the biggest advance in an iPhone in quite some time. Now do I get a ticket? No, I'm not saying that because of that. I really do think this is going to be, especially because of ARKit. But also, I'm very excited. I keep talking about HEIF, the high efficiency image format.
Yeah.
I feel like that's got some promise.
And now HECFA too, especially with the rumors of the 4K HDR Apple TV.
Will it shoot that HECFA?
Well, it does already. But the cool thing is there's rumors about Apple releasing, like you said, that new Apple TV. And people have been waiting for 4K, but previously 4K was mostly 8-bit, which was just 4K standard depth. And now they have HDR, which is the 10-bit support. They have it in the iPhone. Well, they have it in the new iPads. It'll presumably be in the new iPhone.
So will it be HDR for the new Apple TV?
That's what it looks like. I mean, even the Mac has support for HDR now.
Will it be HDR 10 and Dolby HDR, or will it be just HDR 10? Do we know
anything? Dolby stuff is fuzzy. There's been a lot of names thrown around.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Apple's releasing this. They're a little slow to the 4K game.
They're the last 4K device.
Right. So I think that they're a little slow to that. I think coming in without HDR puts them even further behind the ball. I mean, I think that we're already, if you buy a Vizio TV, you're getting HDR from Amazon. You're getting, you know, like there's not, you know, it's already built in. I think if they're going to really make movement in that platform, HDR has to be one of those things. I think also, I think when we see them talking about, you know, higher frame rates and so on and so forth, I could see them, you know, looking at doing comment, you know, I mean, like there's been a lot of talk about something better than 30 frames a second or 60 frames a second.
So. Yeah. Also HDR is a lot more important. I'm sorry. HDR is a lot more important than 4K in terms of what you're going to actually see on the screen. Once you get a certain distance away from a 4K screen, it doesn't look any different from 1080. Whereas HDR is always amazing, no matter what angle you're looking at it. I'm hoping that the next Apple TV is peppier and better processing video, because I do have three or four different boxes plugged in and lots of different sources. And consistently, the only box that can't keep up with absolutely everything that I want to stream is the Apple TV. Like, for instance, things that I record off the air. Every one of my boxes can play it back, no problem. The Apple TV, it's just stops and buffers, and then it's disappointing for an Apple product.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see what they do with live. Obviously, given that we're a live production company, we really are curious about, you know, a lot of the rumors that Apple's going to hopefully focus or put a lot of support into live broadcast. Now, in the beginning, it'll probably be just live from the television stations, but hopefully that's something that
I wonder if they're even going to have that. I know this is a big deal for Apple. They really want to have this, but it's been a very difficult negotiation.
And
carrying locals, live locals, doesn't just require the approval of the locals. You've also, if they're going to put network content on it, which if they don't, then who cares? They got to get the network approval too, right? I mean, this is and so far Apple's been rebuffed every time.
Well, I think it's the danger the danger the content creators, I mean, or the studios, not really content creators, the studios are getting into is that they have successfully turned off Netflix from buying stuff from them. They've successfully turned off Amazon.
Yeah.
They've successfully.
Yeah.
And so they're getting billions of dollars spent by these tech companies to essentially build their own content. So, I mean, Apple's only going to put up with this for so long. If they don't, they need to figure out a way that makes sense for them, but they keep on pushing on this. Apple's going to go start building their own content and forget about them.
Yeah.
I mean, the studios are really
Apple's built its own content so far, and it's not been exactly a threat to the networks.
Yes. No, I agree. They've not. I think that they've brought in new folks that hopefully will have a better sense of what that looks like. But yeah, their original versions
Planet
of
the
of
apps,
what they
come on. And so far, Carpool Karaoke is not exactly a winner either, for that matter.
But there's also an argument to be made that if they're really pursuing the networks, it's sort of like trying to get big band music on your music service. Right. I mean, it's how many people are really interested in network programming outside of sports? So really, live TV is where it's at. If you can get people want their football, people want their basketball, but even that's going to cable channels. They have the money to buy the licenses with those things, and you can get that through Sling TV. You can get that through other things. People who do like network programming, they might be perfectly happy to wait for it to come to Hulu a couple seasons later, or might be perfectly happy to wait for it to come to Netflix.
So you think what they would do is carry a local but black out the network programming?
No, I'm saying that it's a pursuing local network stations was a much bigger jewel 3 or 4 years ago than it is right now. At this point, the amount of effort they have to put in, which is considerable, for the win that they will receive by getting that, which is now much lower. I mean, it's, and I think it would be much more interesting if Apple were to say, oh, and by the way, Apple TV now supports network TV tuners. So if you buy an HD Home Run, you can get every single local broadcast station for free. And if they were to go even further and say that this also, every Apple TV is can also work as a DVR that will sync automatically to your iTunes library. To me, that's a much better solution than trying to keep negotiating with CBS and NBC and all these other groups.
I'm looking at my my iPad, the TV app in my iPad right now, and contrast this to YouTube TV, which I'm also looking at and I have a subscription for. On the iPad, sign into your TV provider. I have to.
Oh my gosh, that is like the this is the constant attack, and then it's like this complicated thing, and
you got to log course, in, and then I look at YouTube TV. Look, I've got all the locals now. This is market by market, but I'm in the San Francisco market, so I've got Fox, I've got CBS, I've got ABC, and by the way, this is a nice interface. The only thing lacking is it's on a computer. It's not on an Apple TV style device. I can't run weirdly. And I suspect this is a restriction that the locals and the content creators have offered. I can't put this on my Android TV. I can only, which is weird. I mean, why can't I put
YouTube? You can't put other stuff on your computer. I don't think it's any coincidence either that the Amazon app is going to debut at this event and not earlier on, because earlier on you wouldn't get the benefit of the HDR content.
Right.
And that's the thing. It's like Apple could have done 4K earlier, but there was no 4K iTunes. They didn't have the deals in place. Even today, the Wall Street Journal is saying that Apple's arguing over pricing. They want $20 for the 4K content, and the studios want $25 to $30 for it. And there's no guarantee those deals will all get made. I mean, usually they come through at the last minute because,
this is as last minute as you can get. This is, again, another Wall Street Journal story.
But a 4K box with no 4K content is a hard sell.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hmm. So this is about buying the movie as opposed to renting it. But I know when I Voodoo or Amazon or Google, I pay more for UHD content than I do for HD content. And I pay more for HD content than I do for standard definition content. So,
and we're still purchase native. I mean, a lot of people these days, they're stream native. They don't want anything to do with purchasing individual movies anymore.
Why buy
so this
it?
Is,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Hmm. This will be very, very interesting. All right. Well,
it feels like it's just a lot of turbulence right now. Like the Hollywood is still, they're still convinced that Apple ruined the music business, and they're not going to let them ruin the video business.
Well, the funny thing is that they're actually getting themselves into a position where they're going to ruin their own business because they're not wanting to play. They're so afraid of this happening that they are, trying to hang on to something that is moving very fast. These companies did not want to make their own content. Like they wanted to license. The easy way out was to license their own content. And Hollywood is very quickly persuading them to do something different. You know, like that they're going to have to build their own content. They're going to have to develop their own, bits and pieces because they can't work with the studios, and the studios keep on putting out, when you look at television content, I mean, they just put out stuff that isn't compelling.
Andy, you said that live TV isn't the crown jewel it used to be, but look at this interface on YouTube TV. I mean, I think these are all live and moving. These are news channels, recommended channels. This would be a great interface on Apple TV that you could put up, and then you could zoom in on the channel that you wanted to watch. I mean, I think this is what YouTube's doing with YouTube TV. I think that's very compelling, and shame that Apple can't do that on the Apple TV.
There's a difficulty when it's important to remember how important simply training an audience, training a customer is. People for generations were trained to go to live TV for entertainment, and over the years, I can only speak for myself, I've been trained not to go to live TV anymore because very little of what I want to see is actually on TV anymore. And when it's there, because advertising has become so much more of a blood sport, now instead of I'm going to get at least 3 or 4 commercials for, hey, let's sign these papers and we'll take your home away from you. Like, you get your home take away from you? Sign with us. We'll have your loan. All these commercials that aren't just annoying, but they're kind of insulting and offensive. And so, which also drives me away from seeing things, especially when you have the opportunity to go to something like Hulu, where for a time or, or YouTube, where for a tiny amount extra per month, it will say, and we will give you no commercials whatsoever. You just get to see the show. And that's, for me, that's worth waiting 24 hours to just not see any commercials and have a DVR.
To me, YouTube TV is an interesting play for Google, because it really does. That's the upsell, right? Oh, well, you know, get YouTube Red, and you can get all this stuff. I mean, this for Google, this makes a lot of sense, because this pushes people toward YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that the TV Tuner app I have for the Apple TV looks a lot like that YouTube TV interface, where it's not live thumbnails, but I get it's a grid of title cards from every TV show that's on right now. So I don't have to flip through channels. I can just scroll and just pick out the one that I want. And again, I can't imagine Apple not already having a prototype of this, given that it's an open standard. They don't have to develop their own TV hardware. They can just, and the hardware itself is $90 and works really, really well. You plug it in and it just plain works. Again, if I were in charge of this project, I would be trying to talk myself out of trying to work any deals whatsoever and just put all of that effort into making the best live TV app, local TV, when I say network, I don't mean TV networks. I mean, you know, your local digital network, the best network IP based TV app ever. And Apple's definitely able to do that.
It's interesting.
Imagine the other thing is that the Plex TV can even do things like, I am waiting for a train in Boston and there is a Red Sox game on. I can, through my phone, connect to my Plex TV back home that is connected to a local tuner and watch stream live television to my phone from this device I've got back in the house. Again, they could put together such an amazing demo that would make everybody want to have an Apple TV. And like a lot of Apple's best products, people would not have to, it would take them a while to figure out that, oh, by the way, Slingbox has had that for like 4 or 5 years now. And this other product has been working on Windows and other platforms for 2 or 3 years. And you could always get that for the Apple TV, but they could put it together in such a way that it immediately becomes like an appliance that you plunk down money for and it does magical things, as opposed to something that your nerdy friend Andy up the street does and can teach you how to set up.
There are so many Apple TVs in the lab that do so many amazing things.
Yeah. We will never see. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been impressed by YouTube TV since the day they launched it. I thought this is a brilliant thing, and I don't see it getting a lot of traction. So it just may be me. I just feel like this, I mean, is such a natural, look at how this works. So I've got the live channels with live video, and by the way, a lot of news channels. I've got movies that they can then rent and make money on. I've got recommended, you know, popular shows. Right beneath it, YouTube Red Originals, right? So YouTube's original programming. Apple, this is how Apple could promote, you know, if they're going to do dedicated content, this is exactly how I would imagine this on an Apple TV on your big screen.
You subscribe to it, Leo?
Yeah, but this is the paid version.
Yeah, mine says try it for $35 a month, select U.S. cities.
Yeah, because you have to be, you probably wouldn't get live locals. It also has a built-in DVR. It has a lot of things that are pretty sweet. I mean, I can actually record shows. I'm only recording one show, but I can have it show up and play because I've been recording it. It's got a very easy DVR. But I don't hear people talking about this. I think
the hard part is that for a lot of the shows that we want to watch, a lot of us are, you know, the problem you get into is now there's so much content. You know, it's trying to figure out what you watch next and which ones you're going to watch on Netflix or Amazon or
is this too complicated? Is this too much for people?
Yeah, well, thanks. The problem is that a lot of the live footage that we think of news and the talk shows and everything else, well, we kind of want to watch them whenever we're going to watch them. And it's mostly the stuff you watch in a hotel room when you don't have anything else to
You're
do.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, and so the, so I think that the problem is sports is still something that you want to watch live. But a lot of the other stuff you look at, like, you know, so yeah, you think you can dance.
You're right. Cause you know, it's not on here. The stuff that I watch, Game of Thrones and the pay TV content, the Netflix originals, none of that's on here.
Right. And so you immediately just start.
This is all crap. I don't want to watch.
It's all the kind of the problem is a lot of the network stuff is kind of filler. And I mean, there's definitely people there's still a lot of people watching it. You look at something like my wife likes, so you think you can dance, but she doesn't care about voting. And so she watches it like, you know, a year later, you know, like, you know, or 6 months later, she watches the whole thing. She can watch one every night until she gets to the end of it. And then she, you know, watches, you know, my wife, you know, used to dance. And so she watches all these dance shows, but she But but she's, you know, it's one of those things that she doesn't need. She's not voting. If she's not voting, and there's no real interactivity. The problem with live video in general is, other than sports, you need to have interactivity with the audience to make it worth watching live. You know, and that's the part that the TV, man, they don't even get it. They don't have any.
No, I think they're experimenting. I think American Idol, for instance, which has live voting, is experimenting, because I noticed. So Lisa and I watched that, and she likes to vote. So unlike Carlita, she wants to be watching live, but she will watch it taped. But it was very frustrating because we're on the West Coast. For one episode, they closed voting after it was done live on the East Coast. And there's no way they did that by accident. That was an experiment. They are aware of this, and they're trying to see how patterns vary.
The voting isn't enough. Like, the voting isn't enough.
No, you know, there's got to be some reason to watch live. And you're right. The only reason you watch Academy Awards, you watch football, you watch the Olympics. Olympics are coming. People are going to want to watch those live, right?
Mm. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, so much of the Olympics that you're watching now is not stuff that's live anyway. I mean, you get a handful
of
live.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that terrible?
Everything else is EBS. And, right. You know,
imagine, though, this grid with live and taped Olympic coverage.
Well, and that's what YouTube did in London. You know, YouTube did it in London where they played. Right. They had suddenly all these live feeds. I don't know what happened to it. It probably terrified the broadcasters to have that happen. But you know, suddenly you could watch live feeds all the time of stuff that was coming from it.
Right.
So, yeah. I think the big question here that we're all ignoring is, will they do a new Apple remote?
Yeah, because a current one is really
the elephant in the room.
God awful.
Oh, my gosh.
If all they do is put a nubbin at one end of it, that's all that needs to happen.
A nubbin.
I'm not saying that all will be forgiven. I'm just saying that you will at least acknowledge Apple will have at least acknowledged to me that they have been listening. They acknowledge that this is not an ideal setup.
So what's the problem? The problem with the Apple TV remote is that you trigger it accidentally all the time.
Yeah.
And that's because this
cushion. It's the cushion effect.
This thing, yeah, this clicker trackpad.
That's clearly matte. That side is clearly gloss. Can you not differentiate?
You hit it, and then, especially if you have CEC turned on, in my house, if I accidentally hit this, the Apple TV takes over the whole home entertainment unit. I'm going, wait a minute, the dragons are attacking, and all of a sudden I'm looking at
Apple
TV.
You're holding it right side up, at least.
Yeah, only because I was careful to look at the matte versus, yeah. So they could improve on this. It's not far off. What do you mean by a nubbin, though, Andy?
Well, like if they put just like a little rubber bump on the back end of it.
Oh, so you knew which way was top.
Just so that you don't have to keep flipping it around to figure out. But I agree that the touch. I have a love hate relationship. I have a love hate relationship with the touch sensor. I do like not just the swipe, but the fact that you can get velocity in there too. If you want to really scroll, you can just give it a savage flick. But yeah, I mean, I have to. I have to have a stand at my bedside to make sure that if I just leave it in the bed at
point, I hit it every time.
I go down a long list and then I accidentally go a little bit sideways and it moves to the side navigation, then it takes me out of into something else, and then I try to get back and it's back at the top of the list again.
It makes you crazy. I keep it in a drawer. Yeah. So that I don't accidentally sit on it and touch it. So it's like in its special drawer. just so
what we're saying is this is less than ideal.
Less than ideal. All right. So that's what we're all going to be watching for, the new Apple TV remote.
A lot of people apparently just use the iOS app now. I wasn't sure how many, but people are like, really, there's still a remote? No, I lost it. I think Serenity said she lost hers months ago and kind of forgot that it existed. It.
Plus, you have to remember to charge it, right? And if it's not, you know, I mean, the whole thing.
That's not bad.
And I'd love to have the ability to, if I'm going to buy something, just use my fingerprint, like I'm on my phone. You know, I mean, you know, it's one of those things
that's
I kind of feel like the, you know, because I have kids, and so typing the password in front of them is very dangerous. You know, like so there's like this whole process every time they want a movie that they have to leave the room, and then I'm going to like click. So the phone works better because I can type it in. But the point is, if I could just say I want to buy this, and then put my finger on it. And of course, my son, I'm sure, would figure out how to use it while I was sleeping, but.
Exactly. Just that don't wait for daddy to go to sleep. And then guess what? We get to see Porky's too.
How many times do I have to stop this autoplay video on Fortune? Jeez, I stopped it once and it's playing again. Fortune says, survey says people don't want to pay $1,000 for a phone. A study from Fluent found that just 13% of Americans would buy a phone that costs $1,000. Only 8% would be willing to pay for a $1,400 phone. Two-thirds of consumers said a $1,000 iPhone is simply too expensive. I don't buy it.
There's a huge problem with that. Nobody will buy one when asked, will you buy one? Yeah. But when they see a phone or when they see the pricing options, a lot of them will
need.
Buy it.
Yeah, you got to create the need.
This gets back into when Dodge did its redesign of their trucks. They had all these, they had these focus groups, and it was something like, seven or 15% just had to have it. They just thought it was the most amazing thing. They had to have it. 25% didn't really care. It didn't make any difference for them. And the rest hated it, like just hated it, would never. And so that was the, and when they showed it to their CEO, everybody said, well, we're definitely building it. And they said, why? And I said, because our market share is 7%. if we are really get 15%, that's all
we'd be happy.
I won't pay $5 for popcorn, but when I'm at the movie, I pay $5.
You do, because you have to have it. Exactly.
I mean, 13% of Americans is still, 45 million people or 40 million people or something like that. It's still a lot of phones. And then we're talking about the very, very, top end version. And there's still plenty of people that will go buy 7Ss and 5Cs and, all that other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking exactly. If that were the new price of the quote new iPhone unquote, then that I think that would be a problem. But if they do market it as, if they do market it as, here is something that is a little bit extra, that is a little bit fancier, and not a little bit more, but enough, but close enough to the base price of the regular iPhone 7 that people who are not blinking at $750 might not blink at $1,000, because in both cases you have people who don't buy who either have people who buy phones every 2 or 3 years so that it's easy to sort of mentally absorb the extra cost, or they have so much money that they don't care and they buy a new phone every year anywhere and just pass down the old one to the spouse and to the kids and to that sort of thing. So the thing is, iPhones are different. iPhone customers are special. I think that with the Samsung Note 8, part of the reason why they can charge so much is that they can legitimately say that, well, look, it has a pen. It has all these extra features. It is really a high productivity phone. You can buy this almost instead of a tablet, almost instead of a notebook for some people. All Apple has to do is say that this is a beautiful object that you will be interacting with from the moment that you wake up until you take off your clothes and change into your T-shirt and sleep shorts at the end of the day. And for a lot of those people, why wouldn't I have the most beautiful thing that I can have?
I think, Renee, you're right. The iPhone Pro is the $5 popcorn box. You will.
I mean, in context,
you just will want it. You'll be drooling, and you'll do anything to get it. And to guarantee you, it'll be hard to get, and people will get up at 12:01 in the morning.
There'll be people who are angry it's $1,000 until the moment they realize they can't order one, and then they'll be livid that they can't. Order one.
I've got.
But again, if Apple tomorrow just said you can order the best of what we're going to release for $1,400, 20 million people would line up and buy it.
You as including you and me, right? Including you and me, Alex. Yeah,
I'd buy it. I want them to do it specifically so I can get one.
I
already know. In fact, they're going to put out this great thing, and I want to have that.
In fact, there are some of us who would say, Apple, spare no expense. If you're going to make an iPhone Pro, then don't. Consider no limits. I don't mean make it out of solid gold. I mean, in terms of pure functionality, put every bit of technology that you can think of in there, no matter what the cost.
I would agree.
Well, that's.
I mean, I think.
Well, keep it under $2,000.
I would say, put whatever you think makes that you can make in mass and put it in there and there's millions of people that would pay for that.
No, I agree.
And then that helps you, that they become the first level, and of course all that technology becomes available and the next year.
It's
or
why
years
they
from now.
They continue to sell the SE, the 7S, and the 7S Plus because there's a range, and for those of you nutty enough to spend $1,400 for a 512 gigabyte iPhone Pro, we got it. Now, I'm going to take a break, and then we're going to do I just really want to run through all the rumors and get your thumbs up or thumbs down on them. Just, I don't want to give them more credence than
they deserve. We're going to use 5-star scale, but since Netflix switched, we're switching.
All right. Right, Yang.
Actually, Siskel and Ebert own thumbs up, so we can't use that. I don't know. But anyway, Andy Anakos, Chicago Sun-Times is here. Renee Ritchie from iMore.com, and it's great to have Alex Lindsay of the Pixel Corps joining us. He joins us whenever he is not tied up working with big shots. And we are going to talk more in just a second about the latest from Apple. But first, a word from our sponsor, Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans, the best mortgage lender in the country, has created a mortgage product for us, the geeks. No more going into the attic to go through boxes of paperwork to find those old pay stubs or check statements. No more going hat in hand to the big bank. Please, sir, can I have a loan? You can do it all online. In fact, you could do it all on your phone. And it's so fast, you could do it from an open house and get loan approval before you leave. That's why they call it Rocket Mortgage. It lifts the burden of getting a home loan. And you'll get the confidence you need because not only are you getting it from the best lender in the country, Quicken Loans, but it's a completely transparent process that is as easy as can be because Quicken Loans has all these trusted partners. So your financial information, you don't have to go get financial information. It's all there. They say, you want to share this? You want to share this? You want to share this? Yes. They run it fast because it's, well, computers are fast. So they crunch the information instantly. And then based on income, assets, and credits, they'll analyze all the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that's just right for you. You can choose the term. It's transparent. It's fully configurable. You can choose the rate. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Now, I know that you're listening to this show. You're not buying a house right now, but please bookmark rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak so that when the time comes, you will be ready. Might be this weekend. You never know. You might see something you like. rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. We thank Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage for their support. rocketmortgage.com. Actually, you can prepare, even if you're not getting a loan, you can go through the steps now just to see how easy it is. I love it. rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. All right, so we did the big rumor, which is 2 weeks from... Oh, look, Alex has disappeared. He has the most amazing video technologies. We can't even see him now. He's got some sort of invisibility cloak.
And TechCrunch has since said that the September 12th is almost locked. Quote, unquote, almost locked. Hashtag almost locked.
Hashtag almost locked. All right. Well, that's the biggest rumor. And I like that. I think we can all agree that seems like the most logical thing. And Apple Park. And we would know, I think we'll know by next week. $9.99 the price. Brian X. Chen in New York Times says thinner bezels, face recognition, unlocking, wireless charging. Those are all old rumors we've heard for a long time.
Yeah.
From Mac Rumors, the iPhone 8 Prime said to come in 64, 256 gig, and 512 gig storage capacities, all with 3 gigs of RAM. Is that credible? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Yeah, sure.
Why not? iPad Pro comes that way. Actually, speaking of the iPad Pro, Apple has 2 patents for using a pencil on a phone. Do you think that would we have with the iPhone Pro, would we have some stylus-y kind of thing?
There's a couple of things you have to overcome there. One is you have to make sure the technology, because they're using a new kind of 3D touch, because 3D touch previously required an LED backlight, and now they're moving to a film-based technology to measure the force of the touch, and that has to be compatible with what they're doing with the multi-touch sensor. You also have to increase the scan rate to 120 hertz. So if they're doing ProMotion anyway, it seems like a real nice, that seems like a real nice solution to that problem. I just think the current Apple Pencil is, it doesn't look like a Samsung Galaxy Note Pencil. It's almost as big as the phone.
Right.
And I'd love to use it. I mean, I would love to use it. It would be field notes for me gone digital. I want it more than I want many other things. I just don't know if they'll do it this
year. Would they change the form factor for a pencil stylus, or would they just say, hey, if you want to use the pencil, you can? Maybe.
It's such a nice pencil.
Yeah. But you know what? They know they need to do a clip so you could keep it in your pocket or something. And a cap so you can protect the nib, because that's fragile.
Yeah. That's the thing.
I think that if they had Apple Pencil support, they'd be surprised at how popular it would be, because the people just much more than people have a Galaxy Note, but they don't instinctively think of a Android device as an art tablet. Whereas people who have iPhones, they will be drawing and they will be taking notes and they will be annotating. If they could come up with the Apple Golf Pencil, maybe.
Oh, that'd be interesting, a golf pencil.
And as far as I know, I mean, Pencil was developed agnostically. They just chose, it's always a question of cost. How much can you put into it? How much can you charge for it? Does it interfere with other things you want to do? And then they made the decision to roll it out iPad Pro. But they could roll it out for iPhone anytime they put those things together.
One of the things Samsung did with the Note 8, they have OIS, optical image stabilization, in both lenses. It's a two-lens solution, OIS in both. That's something Apple doesn't do. You think they might do that?
It would be an improvement. So,
because you can't use the long lens, which is really just a 50, but you can't use the long lens with in low light because it just doesn't have that stabilization.
Yeah, so that, and oftentimes, sometimes you, some people get a little bit surprised that when they zoom, it looks a lot worse than they thought it would. That's because they're actually using the optical zoom on digital the wider zoom. Angle lens, and then digitally zooming it. Right. Apple will do anything if it will improve image quality. They might decide that they can do better than simple optical image stabilization on both. They can do that procedurally better. But no, if they can get another optical image stabilizer behind the telephoto lens, they can do that. But stabilizing a longer lens is a much bigger problem than stabilizing a wide lens. So it would have such little room. Yeah.
Just so I know whether to save up to take Robert Scoble to dinner in Paris or not, will it be clear?
When you look, that was never like the rumor. That rumor probably comes from a misunderstanding of what an edge-to-edge display looks like when it's doing transparent, like it's doing AR mode.
Because it's going through the camera.
Yeah, and it's showing you exactly what's behind it.
Is he going to claim that that's what he meant?
I mean, you should have said it back then right?
I asked him. I said, you don't mean the camera in AR like Pokemon Go. You mean see-through. I don't know why he said that. That was obvious. There's no technology that would make that work.
Well, the battery wouldn't be see-through, so all you'd see is the battery.
Right.
But definitely creating an illusion that it's clear, I think, could definitely be possible.
Well, that would be one of the things that AR would do. Yeah. I mean, by the way, for AR alone, I'm interested in getting this phone, just for the AR kit stuff alone. Google today announced that they have something like AR kit.
AR Core.
They call it AR Core.
We can dumb down Tango as good as Apple can. That was pretty much what that was. Because Tango is much more developed than AR kit, just harder to use.
The problem is that unlike Apple.
Nobody has a Tango phone.
Yeah, Google doesn't control the hardware. The only thing they could do it on is a Pixel. We got a Zen phone AR, the Asus phone. Right. And I mean, the problem is it does it, but there's no apps because nobody's developing for it. So
the market's not as big.
Because there's no market. And so that's where Apple just jumps ahead. They would be instantly the largest installed user base of augmented reality devices by far.
So this is only Nougat and above, but I think that's still like 14%, which when you take the mass of Android phones, it's still a lot of phones.
It's a lot.
Well, and I think one of the challenges really that is still like we've been working on a bunch of AR stuff. And the problem is when we look at the markets that are that we're aiming at, a vast majority of them, at least from all the research we've done, are using iPhones. You know, like they're just, it's just kind of an upper end market. They're, and we just don't, see a lot of Android penetration into those markets. And so I think that's one of the real challenges that Google will have it. I mean, again, the Tango technically is definitely more
advanced. What's interesting about AR Core is it does not require Tango hardware.
It's basically dumbing it down to what Apple's AR kit does.
Right.
Sort of like you could see it. My favorite thing about Google is just how agile they are. And it's like Tango, 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 Tango. Holy crap.
Never mind. Core.
No, but it's great because a lot of companies would just stick into their guns, or they wouldn't be able to, or they would have no buy-in for it, and they pivot so fast.
So AR Core works currently with the Pixels and the S8, as long as they have Android 7 and above. They hope by the end of the preview to get 100 million devices. So I take it back. I mean, if AR Core can convince developers to create apps, Google will be a player.
The challenge that we're going to see in 2 weeks is that if AR, this definitely opens it up for Android or for that kit. The challenge is if Apple releases a phone that has some version of distance measurement that is already in the Tango, then you end up in this kind of weird position where, Apple may not have shown all their cards at WWDC. And suddenly it shows, oh, by the way, you can do all of that too.
Right.
And I think that's the real, and then that puts kind of, you suddenly have millions and millions of phones going out that are able to do all of those things. And, because the AR kit stuff that is pretty, pretty limited, right. What you can do. You know, like when you look at the AR kit and this, what you can actually get done and figure out where you are in a space and so on and so forth. I mean, Tango is the right direction. That's where everyone's going to end up.
Because of the hardware.
Yeah, you need to know exactly where you are. People can talk about image recognition right. and everything else, but you know, the part that is really needed is I need to be able to have a 3D representation of the space that I'm looking at, you know, or and then I have to be able to have a something that can see that 3D information and then match those two together and be able to lock in on it. And so and there's a bunch of bits and pieces to that, but that is the challenge right now is that ARKit doesn't do that very well. Tango does it great, but no one has it. So we're kind of in this kind of, you know, slow moving morass where in 2 years, everyone's going to have it on every phone that's being released. And it's going to be something that is part of what we do. But right now it's still a moving, you know, a fast moving thing. I think that Google did exactly what they needed to do, which was make this easier to develop for, make it easier, you know, make it more available so that developers had an actual audience to absorb it. So I think it makes sense, but I think that the hard pickle that they're going to be in is if Apple releases something that actually gets that 3D data. If they don't, then it's fine. If they do,
well, if Apple does, it'll only be on the iPhone Pro, and of course, Apple's AR kit works on everything from 5S and later.
Right, so, and exactly.
Yeah. And this is all great news for AR in general.
It
solves a problem that I'm sure a lot of developers were having, that if we want to invest a lot of money in developing this AR app, we have this great idea for an AR app, are we going to limit ourselves to just the iPhone market? Now, it's not like there's one industry standard that they can reuse all their code, but it means that if we have this great idea that conceptually works with ARKit, it will also work in this other set of APIs.
For it is kind of cross-platform. Because it works with Unity and the Unreal Engines.
Yeah.
So if you're working in Unity,
really what everyone's developing in,
right? For ARKit, they also are doing a web component, and so that will work across ARKit and AR Core.
So if I want to take my iMac
websites,
if I want to take my iMac out for VR, I can just load up Chrome.
I love this, and I don't know if this is what this demo is, but imagine playing Crossy Road on an actual street.
Yeah.
Out front. That would be fun.
Isn't it kind of interesting that so many, if not most, of these AR Core demos are outside in natural lighting? Whereas most of the AR kit demos I've seen have been just like what we're looking at right now. Here is a table. Here is something on the table.
Yeah.
Or here is even the developer demos are, here is a hallway. Here is what's happening inside a hallway.
Right. Well, hey, this is good for AR. Google and Apple both are going all in. Yeah, right. They just don't go outside much. That's right. What other rumors are we hearing? 3 gigs of RAM. That seems not on. Oh, here's one.
I think they have that already. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not anything new. Talking about nothing new, the 7S will use the A11 chip. That's
yep.
Okay. Is that okay? Will there be a different chip for the iPhone Pro?
I don't think it needs it. I mean, right now, portrait mode is the only thing that pegs an A10. And if Apple keeps getting the performance gains it gets generation over generation with this chip, I'll be hard pressed. It'll just be computational photography. Maybe the AR overhead will benefit, but then I think that will just be that will just maximize the usage of that chip, and everything else will follow.
It makes sense. Apple will say, "Hey, you're not going to get a lower performing phone.
No,
it's just different hardware capabilities on the Pro."
And the X variants usually just throw extra, you know, just their bigger dies and throw more resources, like more graphics cores at it. And I don't think you'd need that.
So it would be A11 across all three phones. Yes?
I think that makes sense. I mean, they could do a custom chip, but I think that's a lot of investment for what's going to be a smaller batch phone.
Right. Will we see iOS 11 on September 12th at the same time? We will, right? I mean,
yeah. I'm sure.
The Gold Master should be out. They should announce the developer Gold Master for that date.
Okay. And then available like that Friday to download. They'll push it out to everybody. Is it ready for the iPhone? It works fine on the iPad, but is it ready for the iPhone, Renee? You've been using it on the iPhone, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm always hesitant to say it's ready because the next version could be terrible. And then I've led you astray, but I've been using it to my daily driver for a long time. Some of the early ones had battery issues for me, or a lot of overhead, it felt like, and the latest ones have been really good.
Yeah.
They're doing them fast. They're putting them out all the time now. I just download one, the new one's ready.
Yeah. I feel pretty good about iOS 11 on my iPad. There's maybe one or two applications that don't work right, but almost everything works fine with it. And you're starting to see applications, I think, update. Remember, we'll see a slew of applications update over the next 2 weeks as they get ready for iOS 11. All right. Here's a story just passed to me by Scooter X. He says, this is the big story of the week. You missed the big story of the week. Apple to host Star Wars-themed in-store sessions in celebration of Force Friday 2.
Oh, cool.
What is Force Friday 2?
Force Friday is when merchant, like, I believe it started with the Force Awakens, when they announced all the new merchandise that's going to come with all the new Star Wars movies. So things like the BB-8, the little BB-8 robot, and all the new Lego sets and all those things. And now they're doing it again, but this time they're making it an even bigger and more formal event. And Apple's going to do two things. At Apple, select Apple retail stores, usually the bigger ones, definitely the ones that have Today at Apple set up already, they're going to have a coding camp where kids can go in, or kids of all ages can go in, and they can do code for the little BB-8 Sphero robot. Oh, they can learn to write sample programs. And they're also going to have you do an iMovie workshop where you learn how to make a Star Wars style movie trailer using iMovie. And some stores, like the flagship store in Union Square in San Francisco, it's going to be like a week-long event. And I believe they're having people from the Star Wars team. I forget if it's ILM or if it's the bigger Star Wars team are going to be in doing talks and things. So it's going to be really cool for anyone who lives near one of those Apple stores.
Friday, September 1st through Saturday, September 9th in the U.S., Australia, Canada, Mexico, Taiwan, U.K., France, Belgium, Germany, Netherlands, UAE, Spain, Hong Kong, Italy, Switzerland, and Sweden. Nice.
By the way, if you're in San Francisco, I just looked at what they were showing there, and I know some of the guys that are going to be talking there. You definitely want to go. If you're in San Francisco, go to that. Go early. Make sure you get a seat. I worked with Coley Wirtz, for instance. He's probably the most amazing painter on, like, he literally can build things that you can frame and put on your wall with his finger on his iPhone. You just want to see what he can do.
They will also,
so it's worth it,
using AR kit, put Star Wars characters in those stores.
That's great.
So you'll be able to meet Rey or Chewbacca. Admiral Akbar apparently will be there. It's a trap.
It's a trap.
In augmented reality, and you can get your picture taken with them or something. I don't know. This is like Pokemon Go style AR.
No substitute for a real flesh and blood cosplayer. You're putting good cosplayers out of business.
Out of business.
Apple Store and a bunch of other stores are going to have AR demo. You hold up AR and they'll have like AR characters in the stores with you.
I think that's fun. Like, see who's in the store. Yeah, really.
Yep.
New York Times. This is, I feel like this might be something Renee will debunk for us. New York Times. Daisuke Wakabayashi wrote an article a week ago. Apple scales back its ambitions for a self-driving car. They apparently are their new test vehicle is the on-campus Apple Shuttle. Which,
I mean, like, so what, when I read this, I was like, oh, God, can you imagine if we had these kinds of stories when Apple was working on the iPhone? It'd be like, Apple has mysterious new purple project, building on lockdown, smells like pizza. Apple's tablet ambitions scuttled. Apple now shrinking down to the phone market. Apple phones, like, it's just like Apple working on Rocker 2. I mean, it's just all of it is sort of like you get a few leaks and then you try to piece them together, but the puzzle looks like a Picasso instead of a portrait.
Right.
As far as I know, there was always talk of Apple shuttles because part of this was autonomy and that was saving resources, and it's a logical. I mean, if us bloggers can think of Apple putting it in the shuttles, Apple has thought about that before we even learned about it. But it's mostly a radical departure. Like, the party got right, and I think other people have reported it previously, is that they were working on the whole thing, and now they're focusing on the core technologies. And the one thing that's so cool about that is many of these core technologies are more widely applicable. For example, if you're ingesting vast amounts of data and trying to figure out that's a tree, that's a wall, that's just rain, you can go through that. All of that computer vision and image awareness technology applies to the Photos app. And a lot of the other technology it uses, for example, identifying planes and spaces, applies to the AR stuff. So a bunch of the technology coming out of this is still super useful. It's just this is a long simmering project that is probably going to change forms multiple times before we get to whatever finished thing Apple releases, which is kind of what most of the, or at least many of their projects
they
do.
Could have picked a better acronym for it, though. PALE.
That's
like,
not, I mean,
like garbage,
that's an
PALE.
They're going to Apple Park now. They're not going to Infinite Loop. So I don't
it's
know how old
short for Palo Alto to Infinite Loop. All right. Well, they'd have to have Apple Park, so it's PALE app.
Yeah. Now it's Park or something.
Park.
Pack.
Pap.
Who knows?
Pap.
I mean, it's super smart, super good technology. And I'm don't know what the right word is. I am disappointed that a lot of the original ambitions didn't come through, because I think what they were working on could have been the next for Apple, and Apple will eventually need a next. Like, eventually you just run out of runway whenever your current platform is, and you need a next platform. No pun intended, but you need something new, a whole new technology to carry you to the next decade. And I think that might have spun out of Titan. But, you know, that there's 8 or 9 of Apple's special projects division has a bunch of stuff going on. It's not a one-trick pony.
To me, the more interesting parts of the article were down at the bottom, where they quoted 5 people familiar with Apple's self-driving car project, saying that the issue really was a disagreement about whether Apple should develop a fully autonomous vehicle or a semi-autonomous car that could drive for stretches and allow the driver to retake control, kind of like maybe a Tesla. Steve Zdesky, who was originally in charge of Titan, wanted the semi-autonomous option, but Johnny Ive thought that a fully driverless car needed to be the future, and the disagreement was one of the things.
One of the things that's really complicated is really thinking about whether you see car ownership in the future. You know, like, so if you want semi-autonomous, that's really voting for people are going to own cars and they're going to drive them around and then they're going to do stuff. A fully autonomous really is a future that is a car comes and picks me up. I don't need to own it. That's what Johnny was going for.
Johnny said, why are we doing this half-assed semi-autonomous, anybody could do that. GM's going to do that. Ford's going to do that. They're already doing it.
Huge question, too. Like a lot of these discussions, exact same discussions we have, are held inside Apple. Another one is it a hybrid or is it a full electric car? Because if you want to sell at scale, which is where a lot of the money is, you just can't make that many electric cars yet. But if you want to do something that's really transformative, then electric is absolutely the way to go. Right. And you stack enough of these big decisions. And when you're Apple releasing a major new product, there are a lot of big decisions to make. And you have a whole slew of different people's opinions.
I think the question really is whether people are going to want to own their own cars. I mean, I think people don't really want to, a lot of people, not necessarily our age, but younger, they're not interested in getting their driver's licenses. They're not interested, a car is more of a hindrance for them to be able to, they now have to get off their phone and they have to, the phone that they spent $1,300 on or whatever. And they're not that interested in cars. And I think what we're really looking at in a fully autonomous world is cars being convenient and taking us where we need to go and not really thinking about us actually, owning that car that comes by, especially if it gets cheap enough that, it's cheaper to just have the car take us where we need to go.
Let's take a break. Well, that's where we need to go right now, but we'll come back with more discussion. Andy Iannocco, hold that thought. Hold that thought, my friend. Renee Ritchie, also here from iMore.com.
I'm helping Andy hold.
He's holding the thought, too. And Alex Lindsay, he's just holding his head.
Trying to keep the thought in there.
I got something for you. A good night's sleep. It'll make you all feel so much better. I have a great night's sleep, and I think I can definitely thank my Casper. The challenge with a great mattress is getting it soft enough so that your knobby parts can sink into it, but firm enough so that you've got support and your back feels good in the morning and all of that. And I don't know how they've done it, but Casper has, with I guess obsessive engineering, plus it's breathable, it's cool. And you know what I love about the Casper? You get it out of the box. It comes in a surprisingly small box, by the way, which is very convenient. It doesn't smell. You don't have to air it out. I've had mattresses in the past that for weeks they kind of smelled like rubber. Not the Casper. I don't know what they're doing. Well, they do, fortunately. Long-lasting comfort and support. And by the way, completely risk-free, because when you buy your new Casper mattress, you've got a 100-day return policy. Free delivery and painless returns within 100 days. So if you don't like it, you call them up. They'll come back. They'll take it, and you'll get every penny returned. Casper.com/MacBreak. By the way, good news, free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada and now the U.K. So we have many U.K. listeners who are always mad at me saying, you talk about Casper, but you never let us get one. Well, now you can. By the way, if you go to the site Casper.com/MacBreak, you can learn about their new Wave mattress. They're sending me one because I don't understand the difference. I love my original Casper. They say has a natural geometry support system and in the new top layer. So I'm going to check it out and I'll get back to you. Or you could check it out too. 100-day, same deal, right? 100-night return policy and free shipping and returns. And it's easy. It comes in a box that you open up and whoosh, the mattress is there and fantastic. Casper. casper.com/MacBreak. Get $50 off any mattress when you go to casper.com/MacBreak and use our offer code MacBreak. Terms and conditions apply. So now you got a little bit more of a choice. I don't know. There's lots of good stuff at Casper. Casper.com/MacBreak. Read all about it. Back to MacBreak Weekly. Andy held his thought. Did it survive or did it melt in your hands?
No, it just started looking a lot more silly the more I thought about it. No. All I'm saying is that there's a it's no surprise that Apple's sticking with autonomous vehicles, because transportation is there's such a huge revolution coming. Even when you talk to government transportation people. People who are designing cities, architects, they're all thinking about the idea of, if we can get rid of more cars, then we can solve so many problems. We're not talking about like hippy crunchy, oh, the planet. We're talking about, how do we get more people into this area? How do we provide services to this area? And there's a lot of motivation to get that done. Also, as Alex said, there's a shift in people's attitudes towards car ownership, where it's no longer kind of the symbol of, oh, I'm free, I'm an individual, I'm 16 years old and I have a car. That's kind of been detached. But the big problem is that there's still a huge regulatory tarball that has to be processed and unpacked. It's going to really take government of vision to simply say, here are federal guidelines for autonomous vehicles. Here is how we need to now build streets and build street signs so that they can be processed by autonomous vehicles. We also have to get the insurance agencies in line. There's a huge the thing is I've had it said that 95% of the problem of creating safe and functional autonomous vehicles involves solving the last 2% of the technical problems. And then you've got a problem of regulatory problems that are about 1,000 times more relevant than that. So Apple really should be pursuing this, because it's going to be like, imagine 150, 200 years ago, imagine the late 1800s, the idea of electricity, that at some point every single town is going to be reconfigured based on the idea that we're going to have electricity going places. And imagine 50 or 60 or 70 years ago, the federal highway system, that imagine that now it's going to be practical for people to live 30 or 40 miles away from work because of cars and highways. That's what these changes to transportation infrastructure are going to have. And so Apple is very, very wise to try to get their hand in that till.
Apple is also getting data centers closer to where you want to be. They've announced a big data center in Waukee. Am I saying that right? Waukee, Iowa. They're going to build a $1.375 billion data center. The city of Waukee has agreed to property tax rebates of $188.2 million over 20 years. They still will pay, that doesn't mean that they're not going to pay property tax. They'll just pay 71% less. And, if you're a small town, and Waukee's a fairly small town, getting that 29% property tax is very, very valuable. So they're going to be very happy, I'm sure, to get that. They'll also get tax credits from Iowa for creating jobs, $19.65 million investment tax credit for creating 50 jobs, although Apple said the project will generate more than 550 jobs in construction and operations. They didn't specify how they break down, though. I imagine far more construction jobs than op jobs. How many ops do you need in a data center after all? Apple will also contribute, and I love this, $100 million towards a public improvement fund for the city of Waukee, including a youth sports complex they're going to build that will be open to all. So a win. It sounds like a win all around. Tim Cook in Des Moines for this announcement, and that he is with the governor of Iowa. So
it was a great interview that went along with, I don't know if it was this one, I think it was actually the next one, the next city that he visited, where he said that as governments around the world stop doing, or I forget the exact words.
They're dysfunctional. Become dysfunctional.
It's up to people. It's up to companies like Apple and other organizations to sort of pick up the slack and continue us down his favorite golden path.
I thought that was very interesting. Cook was, of course, on the advisory council that Trump disbanded, right?
That was really weird. So there was He was never on that council. He said that he was too busy to join the council. Okay. He did go to the meetings, but then someone else said that no one was actually ever on the council. They all just went to meetings. So it sounds like it was something very confusing.
Yeah, what a surprise. And anyway, it's gone now after a number of very high-profile resignations. So Cook, who probably would have resigned if he could, never was on it in the first place.
Regrets it. I never joined, so I can't resign.
Yeah. Darn it. Why didn't they? All right. I thought that was a really interesting statement. It kind of, you know, in a very genteel way, because Tim is a gentleman, first and foremost, implying that as worldwide governments become more dysfunctional, I think he's probably talking about certain specific governments, Apple and others need to take up the slack. I don't think anybody would argue, especially Tim Cook, that giant multinational corporations should start running the world. But
I do think that there's going to be a point in time where we start thinking about the role of the nation state, because the nation states in general are continuing to lose influence over what's actually happening.
This is his quote. The reality is that government for a long period of time has, for whatever set of reasons, become less functional and isn't working at the speed it once was. Now, I'm not sure I'd agree with him. I think it was intentionally designed, at least in the U.S., not to run at high speed for very good reasons. Anyway, and so it does fall, I think, not just on business, but on other areas of society to step up. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I've been reading, I think I mentioned it before, a fabulous book called Sapiens. And if you get a chance, go to the bookstore. You have a bookstore in town? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, if you get a chance, go to the library and just thumb to chapter 6, because in it he talks about the fact that really all governments, all corporations, Yuval Noah Harari, all governments, all corporations are imaginary. They're a social contract. They don't exist in reality. They exist because we agree that they exist. And corporations, much like governments, but they have different reasons for existing and different ways of continuing on. He says there's a certain amount of mythology that you have to create around a government for people to risk their lives, to defend it, for people to do things that aren't in their personal interest, to support it. And I don't think a company necessarily has those same mythologies. So I don't know if a company could just step up and say, hey, we'll take it from here. It's not merely about governance. It's about the consent of the governed, about the willingness of the governed to buy into those mythologies. We have a wonderful, powerful mythology in the United States about, you know, liberty and freedom and self-rule and all of that, and that I don't think a company can really replace.
So the argument that they would give everyone an iPhone and a basic income, and then the technocrats would do whatever they want while we plug into the AR kit and forget about our...
That's Wall-E, right? Well, we're all floating around in our little chairs with our visors and our Slurpees.
Zuckerberg and et al. Do what they will with the planet.
Yeah, I don't think it works that way. I think you need these mythologies. Of course, we've seen, mythologies tumble. And once the governed don't all buy into the same mythology, things can become a little hairy. But it doesn't mean we're all going to go to Apple and say, please, or Mark Zuckerberg, please... fix this.
Give us our social graph and let us.
Well, I don't think anyone necessarily wants to change the infrastructure. I think the infrastructure underlying it is eroding. I think that we can see that it's eroding. I mean, we're thinking more and more about what corporations are doing and less about what governments are doing, because the corporations are more agile. They're able to move much faster, and the governments are tied up in all of this.
But they move much faster in the interests of the corporation.
Right. But I think that, I agree. But I think that the question, I'm not saying that people are agreeing with it. I'm not saying that we're going to change it. What I'm saying is that I think what the reality is that the corporations are getting a lot more, they have a lot more influence. People aren't really.
Can you convince an 18-year-old to give his life to keep the Apple way of life? I don't think
so. They bleed in six colors, Leo. They bleed in six colors.
It's interesting. We did also learn that Tim Cook has a very unusual breakfast style. 2 scrambled egg whites, crispy bacon. They didn't have his preferred turkey bacon. Sugar-free cereal with unsweetened almond milk.
Very California. There's no, if there was avocado, it would have been very California.
That's what he needs. That's what's missing.
Yeah.
He was at the LBJ Presidential Library. He said one of the things that hits you is that all of the major acts, the legislation that happened just during his presidency, his eyes widened as he listed some. And by the way, LBJ only was president for 6 years. You have the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Act. You have Medicare. You have Medicaid. You have several national parks. You have Head Start. You have housing discrimination or anti-discrimination. You have jury anti-discrimination. Regardless of your politics, you look at it and say, my gosh. My gosh, says Mr.
Get away with the gosh.
My gosh. he was vocal in criticizing Trump after Charlottesville. But he has been kind of a little bit more careful in his public statements as he tours the country. What is Mr. Cook up to? I mean, isn't that what Mark Zuckerberg's doing, touring the country?
They ask him that at the very end.
Is he? Oh, let's see what the quote is here. Do you want to be president? He says, I have a full-time job. I appreciate the compliment. He's added with a wry look, if it is a compliment.
Well, I think it refer. I think it it all comes down to the amount of power that a company like Apple and Google and Facebook wield. They are now they provide so much of the social infrastructure at this point, so much that we absolutely rely on that we. I think that it's a good idea to keep ahead of the ball that way to make sure that the people that are create the message that the people who are running this company are aware of their importance. They are aware that they're not just selling products and services, that they if they were to magically go away, if they were to be raptured tomorrow, leaving behind a whole bunch of really expensive black mock turtleneck T-shirts lying on the ground empty, that a lot of society would just simply collapse for lack of infrastructure. So whether they like it or not, they do have these roles to play.
Yeah,
and so this sure. is so there is going to be a political part of their job that it does, that no longer is just limited to making sure that they get tax credits for building a certain plant, certain places.
No one sits in Tim Cook's chair without understanding the kind of responsibility that Apple has to the society, to the larger world.
It's a very dangerous place. I mean, there are governments all over the world that are trying to co-opt companies like Apple and Google and Facebook into being an extension of their local police force and into their local surveillance state. And not even to the extent that that America does it, but basically say that, well, if someone is using a phone inside our country and they're our citizen, we have the right to take a look at whatever information they're transacting. And these companies are going to have to be able to take a stand that, no, we don't stand for that. We're not going to let you do that. We're going to remain above geopolitics to that extent where, you know, you just can't. We will not simply in the face of trying to sell billions of phones or billions of computers, make sure that we're keeping billions of people underneath your heel.
Well, another thing to remember is that Apple is, I think, one of the few personal technology companies that is in the U.S. It's Apple, it's Dell, it's HP, and then the rest are in Asia in Korea, Japan, China, Taiwan. So Apple, Dell, HP, they have a heavier burden because they're still in the U.S., although all their assembly is done out of
and Apple is doing products, but they're also doing the services that a Google would do, like they're providing email and messaging and all the stuff that people get the intelligence, or at least the data they want to from. Right. Whereas I think Dell is more transacting hardware.
Credit, by the way, to Andrew Ross Sorkin and DealBook and the New York Times for that interview and quote. Good article. Apple's
and breakfast cook. Description.
And breakfast. Thank you, Andrew, for paying. I almost called him Aaron Sorkin. Thank you, Andrew, for paying attention. Is he in relation to Aaron Sorkin, I wonder?
Oh, I think his prose would be a little different. It's like Tim Cook has breakfast all the way to the floor. Much like himself.
I have to say, though, it's a nicely done article, and the quotes are great, and it's quite well done. Sorkin is really good. This Sorkin is really good and does a great job at DealBook.
And I do think that we're seeing more. I think Apple's definitely doing this. I think a lot of these folks are seeing that they have to play to the public. You know, it's not just them running their corporation or having little meetings with the president.
Yes.
Or all those things that the government's going to make a bunch of decisions and that
they learned that after with the San Bernardino case, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that this ongoing, you know, I think we're going to see more and more of this from all the technology companies, of outreach, of making a difference, of doing all these things, because that helps build that, so that when they need to turn people to, you know, stop the government from doing X, Y, and Z, or we're not going to do that, you know, that's not something that you can turn on in a week. You might need it in a week. How you turn that on is over years of service and years of investment and years of you know, working with communities. You build those roots that can be used, you know, when needed to, you know, slow things down.
And they also, just as part of this, they enabled, they enabled relief gifts through iTunes for the hurricane, and Apple contributed $2 million, I believe, to the relief efforts as well. So he's trying to make the most of that might for right,
right on
policy. Well,
and I think that for Tim Cook, I think this is way more than just some calculation. I mean, he just really, you know, this is something that
he believes. Steve wouldn't do it, but Tim Cook immediately went.
Well, Steve was very different. Steve would do it, but he would never let anybody talk about it. And I think the quote was, "I don't believe in pimping our karma." Like he thought it was utterly
So that's interesting, because I always got the impression that that Steve did not believe in giving to charity. You're saying he did, but
he would not talk about it. Yeah, he did not believe in talking about it. Where Tim believes that you can inspire others by your actions.
Both, I think, reasonable points of view. What is the quote from the Bible? Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Apple. Their very first AI research paper garnered them a prestigious machine learning award. Best paper at the 2017 Conference on Computer Vision and Pattern Recognition. This is according to Apple Insider, one of the most sought after prizes in the AI field. The paper was titled "Learning from Simulated and Unsupervised Images Through Adversarial Training." Mm. Hmm.
Hot dog, not hot dog, not hot dog. Are you sure that's not a hot dog? Pretty sure. Okay, yeah, not hot dog. Okay, go.
2,680 submissions, 2,620 reviewed. Delegates whittled the number down to 783 presentations, granting long oral presentations to 71 entrants. Apple's submission ultimately made its way to the top of the pile, an impressive feat considering it was the company's inaugural showing.
It's part of having those people employed at Apple. They want to publish. They want to win awards.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
Also, it's amazing how much collaboration there's going on between companies on AI, because this is absolutely brand new stuff. I've never met a researcher who really believes that the computers will take over the world if we let them go too far. No. But there's a lot of X factor going on, and what's going to be the best practices. And so it's like, it really is like you're working on nitroglycerin, and everybody in every lab is competing with everybody else, but everybody wants to make sure they don't blow themselves up. And so they're sharing a lot of information and a lot of thought.
So another Tim Cook revelation, 30 U.S. community college systems will start to offer Apple's app development with Swift curriculum in the 2017-2018 year. That's good news. Apple, this is curriculum developed by Apple.
Yep.
By the way, Capital Factory, you stole my logo.
No, I got a split screen.
I don't own the gear, but that sure looks a lot like mine. It's an incubator. And some high schools. Boy, if you were a high schooler and you got to do that, that'd be pretty cool.
Another example of using your resources to push. I mean, it does push Apple's agenda, because it's Swift. Yeah. It's not something like JavaScript, but it does mean that all these kids now have access to one of the biggest app platforms in the world.
Well, and I think you could probably get it in the iBook store too, right? You don't have to be doing it through a school.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there. And what's interesting is that this is what they I don't think they did very well with iBooks. You know, there wasn't a huge investment after they released it to show people what they could do, to develop more of that, right, of that process. And what they're really doing is they've made a big investment, and they are investing the resources necessary to make it actually successful. I think it's huge.
The curriculum is meant to guide people with no programming experience toward the goal of building a fully functional app in Swift. Be a good language to learn. I think I wonder if anybody is doing this. And if you are, let us know how it's going. Is it good? I'll have to try it. If you go to the iBooks store, I think you search for app development with Swift, I think is the the key word to look for. Anybody doing that in the chat room? Any of you? Will Apple talk more about HomePod on September 12th?
I think they have to, because they've only shown off the Apple Music component. They haven't shown off any of the Siri integration. I mean, they didn't show it off publicly, at least. The technology itself was there, but they didn't show it off. And I think that's a story that they'll want to tell at this event, just to remind people that it's still coming and the capabilities of what it'll be able to do.
Yeah, they have to. They're kind of obligated to do a live fire exercise with this for the first time, because now's the time where people start actually allocating money for things they might want to buy at the end of the year. And so they were kind of free to just sort of give a little quick demo during WWDC. But now they're kind of expecting people to make sure there's $350 on the MasterCard available sometime around November.
It's going to be jam-packed.
Jam-packed it is.
Yeah. Another vote for how much prep they're going to have to do for this next event, because it's okay to have a handful of people into a living room environment, but they're going to have to give kind of wide demonstrations, I think. Or they'll miss an opportunity if they don't let anybody who wants to give that device a good listen to under a credible environment.
I feel like mentioning it might be there. I'd be surprised if they spent. I mean, they have so many products that they're most likely going to talk about, whether it's Apple TV, with the watch, the phone. Those are things that seem like they're very close. I could imagine them nodding to the pod and the iMac Pro, but you know that's an odd situation we're in, because Apple usually doesn't tell us anything about anything, you know, way off in the distance. And so do they or don't they? I mean, I kind of feel like almost we're going to see a nod to it, but you know, say, well, that's coming, you know, and then it's going to have its own event, and maybe it has an event that it shares with the iMac Pro, you know, who knows? But I think that is, I'd be surprised if they want to take that much energy away from rolling out the biggest phone they've ever produced. You know, to have too many things going on. It's just very un-Apple.
I disagree, only because the HomePod is such a, it's based on a demo. It is a lump of nicely sculpted material with a grill on it as a static object. You can't really get people interested in it unless people see it working. And you have a lot of people getting really, really excited about it, who say that I was there and I listened to it and it sounds amazing. And then I gave it voice commands and I was able to say, well, give me that song that I was listening to when I went to that place that time. And it actually played Radar Love, which was the song I was thinking of. I don't know how it did it. Whereas with the iMac Pro, you could simply say, okay, here's a cutaway view. Here's how many fans we've got in it. Here's all the silicone we've got in there. It's good. The iPhone Pro, if that's what's going to be, also is another thing that we're going to have to get people holding it and seeing how well it unlocks. And again, telling those tactile stories of what the experience of it is like. You can't get people emotionally attached to an iMac. You get them interested in how fast it is and how much more productive they can be. But you can only sell an iPhone 8 by getting people emotional about it. HomePod, I think people will be happy with it, whether they're emotional about it or not, but it's going to be an emotional buying choice. They will imagine themselves having this amazing piece of audio technology unlike anything that's ever been done before, and being able to communicate with it and control it in a way that is so futuristic and 21st century that I can barely contain my lunch about it. And that's the sort of stories that they want to generate by inviting people to this event in September. So again, I'd be really surprised if we didn't see a much more broad live fire exercise with HomePod, and a lot more people that can come away from that and write about it and podcast about it and tell people about what it was like to actually be using that thing.
They could also just do it right at the beginning, the way they've done Apple Watch in the past, and just say, oh, you know, back in June, we showed you the HomePod, and right now we're going to give you a quick demo of Siri. And I'm moving right along to the iPhone or the Apple TV or whatever is next on their agenda.
Will there be big progress in Siri as part of this?
There is already an iOS 11 that does a lot more things, and it's got new engine and all that. Okay. And I think the HomePod is going to be very specific, though. It'll be like Apple TV, where it's got a purpose-built Siri for exactly what it is.
Hey, Siffy. By the way, I just downloaded the Intro to App Development with Swift and App Development with Swift. There's two different books. They're free on the iTunes Store for iBooks, which is nice. They are designed to work with a Mac running OS Sierra and Xcode 8, which you can get for free on a late model Mac. And I love this at the beginning. It says, a word of advice App development with Swift is designed to make Swift and iOS development approachable, but you will get stuck. All programmers get stuck. Learning to program is hard, and building apps is hard. You'll feel discouraged when you can't get something to work right. You'll feel frustrated when you've been stuck for hours in the same problem, and you may want to quit when you don't understand something. But it gets easier. It turns into a puzzle. You'll experience a rush of adrenaline when you hit the run button and your app works, especially after you spend hours or days trying to get one little thing to work just right. You'll smile when you write code that runs perfectly on the first try, and you'll celebrate when your first app goes live on the App Store. I think that is a great introduction to programming.
One of my favorite quotes from Hensel Gracie is that a black belt is simply a white belt who never quit.
Ah, perfect. Perfect. I'm gonna work my way through this. This looks like a lot of fun. Very nice. And it's also got Swift Playgrounds in here, and you can play with that. And that's a really neat technology that helps people learn how to program that is unique, I think, to Swift. Former Apple employee, like this. Karsten, you must have found this. Former Apple employee thinks Touch Bar shouldn't be forced on users who want the highest-end MacBook. I couldn't agree more, but that's just the way it is. My screen is now blacked out. This is something Chrome has been doing a lot on Windows. I don't know what's going on with this, but so I can't read the article.
Power saver mode.
It's very frustrating. Very frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Touch Bar is that I don't want to say you get it for free because obviously there's a display mechanic, but once you add the separate processor, the T1 chip for the Touch ID, you're running code anyway, then that needs a display because the Mac OS does not run the display for the numbers. They don't want anyone to be able to hack the numbers and say we're charging you $1 and then charge you $100. So the T1 chip has to have a display to communicate to. So they're going to put a small display in there anyway. And once you do that, just making it a full display and doing extra things to it gives them a better showpiece for the whole embed. Yeah.
We won't go through this all over again, but I don't think you get it for free because Apple does take things away from you to give you that Touch Bar. So I agree with the sentiment that I wish the people had the people who said that the Touch Bar offers me nothing that interests me. I think it's a big pain in the butt. I would much rather have a physical escape key that's always there. I think that's a credible thing for
that both. Cut off the end instead of that dumb black end that doesn't show anything and just put an escape button back.
So I can't read the article, but he's saying I still want the fingerprint reader. I just don't want the Touch Bar.
Yeah.
Well,
and then you need a display for the finger. You need a display for the fingerprint reader.
That's just creating another SKU. I don't understand. You know, that wouldn't make any sense.
I bought the lower end. I replaced my Touch Bar Mac Pro with a lower end, admittedly not as fast, Touch Barless MacBook Pro. Because the Touch Bar just got in the way, and I wanted an escape key. But I don't think I can live without the fingerprint reader. Just put more processor power in the Touch Barless
MacBook Soon we'll have Pro. Face ID on the Mac too, Leo, and then you'll never have to bother with it.
Exactly. Exactly.
The future fixes everything and just creates new problems as it comes.
Yeah. So it is another SKU, but it's the kind of SKU that's not a difficult that Apple does all the time, where you have BTOs with higher end processors, more RAM, that kind of thing.
Add a Touch Bar for $100.
Yeah. I guess you could
touch
do
bar
that.
And Touch ID for $100.
Yeah. I guess you could do that. Moving along, let's see. I just want to get through all of this before we get to your picks of the week, which are just around the corner. I think we've covered most of the big stories. LTE Watch. We'll find out about that in a couple of weeks as well.
Maybe exciting. I mean, Craig Federighi spoke about as fast as the Micro Machines guy at WWDC, just one thing after another, after another, after
boom,
another.
Boom, boom, boom,
and I
boom.
I think we'll get the hardware. And not exactly the hardware equivalent of that, but it'll still be a stacked event.
Oh, I know one more story because we've talked a lot about it's not exactly an Apple story, but as the HomePod gets closer to reality, Sonos has got to be a little bit worried. They just submitted for FCC approval a new Sonos speaker with a Array microphone in it. And, of course, they pushed out a couple of weeks ago, we talked about it, new user agreement, new terms of service. That would change a little bit their privacy agreement in preparation for this, I think, and an upgrade in the software.
Do we know what? I still think that they'll go with a licensed assistant rather than making their own.
This implies
a lot of work.
This implies multiple voice platforms and music services.
Oh, you could choose your own assistant. That'd be amazing.
Choose your own assistant. Wouldn't that be interesting if you could choose from Siri or Echo or Google Assistant?
Or Cortana or something.
One of the problems, of course, with a HomePod is it'll only support, probably only support Apple Music. I want to use, say,
Yeah, at
Amazon
first. I mean, I think
Google.
They'll grow that over time.
You well, think you'll, they you'll will, or do you think they'll say, no, 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 you got to be in the Apple ecosystem?
No, I mean, I think it'll behoove them to, over time, add additional features. And what we're all waiting for is just the Siri kit plug-in for music and all those things. And then it'll just support anything over the Siri kit.
Yeah. Well, anyway, FCC approval pending. That means you're probably not too far off from an update. But if you had to buy all new Sonos speakers, that's going to be a non-starter.
Not doing it.
Not going to do it.
Wouldn't be prudent. This junk.
I would hope they would sell a little plug-in that would plug into my speaker that I could use or something like that.
They're all networked. I mean, all the Sonos's are networked, so it doesn't even have to plug in; it would let you tie into it.
Yeah, and Echo Dot. Actually, really, all they have to do, and I guess this is harder than it seems, is to have a skill on the Echo for Sonos, right?
I mean, I think that if you're thinking about your Sonos as a network where you have lots of them, you know, you have 10 or 15 of them or 5 of them or whatever, I think you're still going to do that. I don't think the current speakers replace the ability to do that, but I think that
you
as
put
a
the
single
mic
speaker,
where you
combined,
are.
But if you're but if, as a single I think the problem they have is that there's no reason to buy a Sonos if you're only buying one of them. Like unless you're going to buy a bunch of them for different rooms, I think that it's not a very compelling solution anymore.
Well, now Amazon Echo has added the capability to support Echo-free multi-room audio. So
I think that's fine.
You know, and I'm sure the HomePod will do this. I think Sonos has got to be at this point fighting this is a losing battle.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they have a better opportunity with their Kinect products than with that are connecting to professional stereo systems and so on and so forth. Than necessarily
that's
the,
true.
The speaker.
I have two of those. I have two stereo systems connected to Sonos. I also have and this might be another area where Sonos can survive. They also, with the sound bar and surrounds and the subwoofer, they can do home theater audio.
They've been very reticent to expand. Like I would have in an instant. Right now I have the Sonos home theater, but it's still just the basic home theater setup. I would have loved for them to go to 7.0, for example, or to offer an Atmos alternative. But they seem to have been incredibly conservative with what they would offer there, and hopefully either this pressures them into doing it or someone else comes along and maybe Yamaha puts out a smart speaker that does Atmos.
Well, yeah, I think everybody's gonna. I mean, anyway, it's only frustrating for those of us who spent thousands of dollars on Sonos equipment.
Hi, we have a support club, Leo.
I tried the other day, I put a Dot on the Sonos through the auxiliary jack, hoping to add. But it won't use stereo. It's one per speaker. You can't do this room thing. And it forgets it. So you have to, every once in a while, tell the Sonos speaker, no, you get your audio from the jack.
And they wouldn't have AirPlay. So I had an AirPort Express, and now I have an Apple TV hooked up, and I can use that. But it's just it's not native.
Yep. Oh, well. All right, let's take a break and move on to our picks of the week in just a moment with Andy Iannocco from the Chicago Sun-Times, Renee Ritchie from iMore.com. The Pixel Core's handsome Alex Lindsay, who got his
ravishing.
He got his yearly haircut, it looks like.
yeah, exactly. You got to do it once a year.
Once a year.
Wandered up to Petaluma. So.
We share a hairdresser. I missed my last appointment and I decided I'm just going to let it all grow out. I want to look like the Unabomber.
Oh. There you go.
I thought you were going to say hipster.
Oh, you think I'll have a little.
I would like to have a man bun. I think you grow it out. I think you grow it out and you braid it. I think a little Leo
cornrows.
Braid.
Dothraki.
Just one big braid in the back. Oh yeah, Dothraki would be good too.
Oh yeah,
all kinds of options once you grow your hair.
I was thinking ponytail, but a man bun sounds awfully.
Go for a Babylon 5 like Mimbari upsweep. Peacock fan of hair.
Yeah,
I think that's ready to come back.
I just bought all of Babylon 5 on iTunes, so I'm really digging Andy's references this week.
Our show today brought to you by ZipRecruiter. I love ZipRecruiter. I tell you what, they have solved a fundamental problem. We were talking about the difference between governments and companies. Companies are amazing. It's the same thing. They really don't exist in reality. They're a fiction a legal fiction that there's a company. But it's more than that. Steve Jobs was very aware of this. He said the company is one of the greatest inventions of humankind. The idea of a bunch of people uniting around a common goal, and 100 people or 25 people or 10,000 people can do something completely different than what one individual can do. And ultimately, building a company is an incredible lever. And if you're in a company, especially if you're the person who does the hiring for the company, you know that intimately, because hiring the right person can forward you towards that goal. Hiring the wrong person can hold you back. It's like you're all rowing in a ship and you get one person rowing out of sequence. It's terrible. So that's why when you're hiring, it's like the most important thing. The company is made of the people you hire. So that's where ZipRecruiter comes in. ZipRecruiter makes it easy to find the right person fast. The right person's out there, but how do you know where to go to find them? Where do you post jobs to find the most qualified candidates? That varies. With one click at ZipRecruiter, you can post to 100-plus job sites, really improving your chance of hitting the right person. Then also Twitter and Facebook. So your chance of the right person seeing that posting goes up exponentially. And then, I love this, all those applicants roll into the ZipRecruiter interface, not to your inbox, not to your phone, and their powerful technology can efficiently match the right people to your job. It does better than anyone else. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate through the site within a day. So, you know, it's always urgent when you need somebody, but it's a lot easier with ZipRecruiter. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. They all go into the interface. They pre-format the resume so they're easy to read. You can screen them with true-false questions, multiple-choice essay questions, then rate them and manage the candidates all in one place. Connect with a wide variety of professionals, of course, IT experts, Mac experts, whatever it is you need, exactly what you need to take your company to the next level today. Don't try to fit a square peg into the round hole. Get exactly the right peg. More than 300 million applications delivered, more than 1 million users. If you're currently searching for a job, ZipRecruiter will also help you find your future job in any industry, including technology, government, business, finance, and more. Just upload your resume, apply with one click, and all those ZipRecruiter companies, all those million-plus companies that use ZipRecruiter will be able to see you too. By the way, I never mentioned this, but they have a great blog where you can get lots of recruiting tips or, if you're an applicant, career advice. They really do a nice job. ZipRecruiter.com/twit. And right now you can try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/twit. Build your company with the right person fast at ZipRecruiter.com/twit, or find the right company for you to work at. Renee Ritchie, pick of the week, sir.
So this is not something I've tried myself yet because they have just been announced. But whenever there's a new HomeKit, so to speak, I always love it because it just increases the functionality of what I can do around the house. And Elgato has a bunch of new stuff that they announced today. I believe it's part of the IFA preamble. So they've got the Eve Thermo, which is a connected radiator valve. Oh, we still have radiators.
Oh, why? Wow. Oh, my God. That's hysterical.
Radiators are humans too, really.
Well, and if you live in an apartment or something where, I mean, yeah, of course.
Absolutely. Total. They have the Eve Smoke, the Eve Window Guard, the Eve Lock, and the Eve Aqua, which is a connected irrigation controller. And I just love that this stuff is spreading. Like, it's going to be everywhere soon. I'll just be able to walk around with my iPhone or other gadget and just say, water on, lock open, radiator, 30 degrees. And this is the George Jetson future that I have been looking forward to for those many years.
Well, and I love Elgato. I use their TV tuners for years, and I'm just glad they found another avenue for their great engineering.
Absolutely. And they've been all in from the beginning. And one of the nice things about it is that they don't use a hub. I mean, there are some advantages to hubs in that you can just buy the satellite device. You can swap out a new hub if the technology changes and keep the satellite equipment. But it's also one more thing to buy. And with Elgato, all the logic, all the encryption, all the transmission is built right into the device. And that way, you just buy the components you need. You don't have to worry about anything being connected to your router or anything else. They just all work intelligently.
And, you know, I think that the radiator valve has to do with the fact that Elgato is a German company.
Yes.
And these must be just more common in
Das Radiator.
Das Radiator.
I just want to know why the Sphere is not available in my country.
The sphere. Like
the AVA sphere that they have there. I can get the flare and I can get the bulb, but the sphere is not available in my country. There must be some sad. Very...
What does the sphere do?
It's a light. It's one of their lights.
Oh.
It's like they're one of the controllable lights. They have three lights, and one of them... I was on the website while
is it a voltage? Like, is it a voltage issue?
No, it's just not available. It's like...
Transforms your home with beautiful, dynamic light moods.
Is it available in Canada?
I don't think so. I haven't seen it. They do have an Eve Core, though, so other companies now can also just get the card and make their own home.
So this is very much like the Hue. Well, yeah. I like the Sphere,
but that
though.
Is Avia. I think that's different.
Avia. That's not the Eve stuff. That's the Avia stuff. Yeah. Look, you can get an egg that glows on your deck. I like it. Oh, such I want this. You're right. Okay, now I agree with you, Alex. $100. Oh, man, the Sphere is even cheaper.
Yeah, it's not available in Canada either.
It pairs with your watch or your phone. So you could have your Apple Watch. You could choose to make your... Oh, I want this. They got bulbs, nice. Spheres, and flares. Why are they product not available in your country, but they charge $99 US, so I don't get it. You know, I'm going to... It's available for European sockets. That's why.
Oh.
Type C sockets.
Badness.
So you could have a green egg next to your green egg in the patio.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, so they haven't made it for our socket yet.
You got to get there eventually.
Elgato, despite the name, they're in Germany. ELGATO.com. Thank you, Renee. Good pick.
Awesome.
Andy and Akko, pick of the week.
This might be an old one, but a friend just gave me a copy of Iconic, a photographic tribute to Apple innovation.
Oh, that's such a pretty book. Yeah.
It's an amazing, an amazing coffee table book. Apple, of course, came out with their own like self-tribute book, but this one remembers that there was a time before Steve came back to Apple. So it covers all of the cool Apple design, even like, you know, Apple II game controllers. It's all the frog design stuff. The challenges of even making, I'm sure I won't find it, but even the Apple file server, which is, of course, the ultimate in just plain gray boxes. But you have to, you know, see, like the Quadra 950, you know, again, you have really, really utilitarian Macs that have to look good, too. And it really is the sort of thing where every single page is beautifully photographed. There are quotes from Jony Ive and other people who are involved in Apple design throughout that are relevant and informative. There are a lot of stuff that they didn't actually wind up making as well. You can see, remember when like everybody had to make at least one version of your machine in like clear acrylic for demonstration purposes. And you would beg and borrow to see who has one of these and how you can get one for yourself. It's just an amazing book. And it's really just another hour of your life spent just sitting or standing right there at the door because you took it out of the Amazon box and you just wanted to glance through it. And it's an hour later, you're still looking through it. It's available in a whole bunch of different editions. The cheapest one is like something like $50, which for a book as beautiful as this is just doesn't seem like a lot of money. But then you can spend a little more and get the slipcased edition, or you can even get the one that is housed in special tabletop slipcase that looks like an Apple II.
That's hysterical. So,
yeah,
that is hysterical. That's the special edition.
Very special edition.
Very special.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think it makes a hell of a gift. I guess it's not a lot of money, but oh boy, the amount of impact that it creates by just being, for anybody who has been a fan of Apple, anybody who's been an Apple user for a long, long time, it's not just nostalgia. It's just appreciating the beauty of design. Apple designers have come and gone before Jony Ive came and came to prominence, but the commitment to design was always there, and you can definitely see that throughout this entire book. So
they also have an edition that looks like it's got a glowing on-off switch on it. That's hysterical. You know, Alex Gumpel, who is he's a Windows user, but he's a collector of vintage Macs. He has a copy of this, so I've actually seen this book. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's really cool. Iconic, and you can find it at Iconic Book. Oh, look, and Alex is this a different one. He says, I have a post-it note that says, this is good, too. This is new. Is this new? This is from Hartmut Esslinger, the founder of Frog Design. Keep it simple, the early design years of Apple. Alex collects all this stuff, Alex Gumpel. Oh, this is nice. Look at that.
Wow. Yeah, I miss the Frog Design design language. I thought that was really, really pretty.
Yeah, they did some interesting stuff. They were Lisa-era designers. Alex Lindsay, your pick of the week.
So I have been, I got one of those little Mavics, the Mavic Pro, to fly about. Probably one of the easier ones to do. I'm recommending the Mavic Pro, but that's not my recommendation. I'm do something a little less expensive. The Mavic Pro is great, and the DJI products in general are pretty fun. One of the apps
Mavic Pro is $1,000. That's too much for me. Yeah.
But it's kind of a nice mix of it's not as expensive as some of the other drones we have.
Right.
And it's also super compact. You can carry it around. But what I've been using with it, if you already have a drone, you're listening, is this thing called Drone Deploy. And Brent Schnarr on our team recommended it to me. So Drone Deploy, what it does is you literally draw a little, and this is just more of like take a look at it and look at the technology now. But you literally go to a Google Map essentially, and you draw an outline of I want to map this area. I want a 2D map, and I want a 3D map of it. 3D. And you hit go, and it literally just goes up. And it takes over the drone. The drone just goes up and just starts doing zigzag. It builds the whole grid. You say, I want overlap of 65%, or I want overlap of this much. And it figures it all out of what it needs to do that. It'll tell you, you need two batteries for this. So it'll go out and it'll go halfway done. And then it comes back and it lands. You swap the battery and then you start it up again and takes off again and goes out, starts where it left off and just keeps on going and taking the photos. And then if that wasn't good enough, you take all those photos and you just upload them to their website and you get back a stitched photo of your area and a little 3D, a little 3D model of the area. Just extruded it all out and, popped it all up. And I was playing at my family's golf course and I've been trying to map that place for 15 years. And I finally, it was 15 minutes, it took 25 minutes for it to do it. And then I uploaded it. I came back 6 hours later and it was cooked, and there it was, And so, if you already have a DJI drone, it integrates with it very well, and it's just a lot of fun. And it shows you the technology of where it's going, where you're, a lot of these apps, what's incredible is just being able to control these drones without, you're not flying it around, which is fun. But you're literally saying, I need this, and this. And you can even have it'll do this thing where it'll map the whole thing, and then around the center, it'll do this big circle kind of at an angle. So you kind of get all the extra kind of side information as well. And watching the drone kind of do all that work on its own is something very fulfilling about that. I don't know what it is, but
what do you think of the Spark?
So
have you
tried
that?
I almost bought a Spark. The problem is it doesn't fold. So like I was kind of surprised that they built one that didn't fold. So I went to a Best Buy to buy a Spark. We were doing laser scanning of a location. This is LiDAR. And what happened was is the LiDAR system stopped working. And so I was like, I got to get something. I got to walk away with some kind of data. So I was like, went to Best Buy and I was going to get the Spark. I figured out that'll be enough to do what I need to do. And then when I opened it up and they showed it to me, I was like, you can't fold the wings.
So you can't really pack it.
It would be very hard to pack. And that's the big advantage of the Mavic and the GoPro solution. I chose the Mavic because of the integration with all these tools that are already out there. But the problem is that the advantage of the Mavic is, man, I throw that in my carry-on all the time. It's like a little box and I throw it in the carry-on and you get to a location and 3 minutes later I'm flying, I just kind of open it up and turn it on and boom, it's up in the air, and I don't have to, it's not like this huge Pelican case. The little Spark wouldn't be a huge Pelican case, but it's still, with all the wings and all the other bits and pieces, it's still going to take up some space, and you're getting a much lower res camera. You're getting, there's a lot of things that a lot of quality that you're giving up, for not a lot of space. And to me, space is a premium for me, in general, when I'm traveling around. So that's why I chose the Mavic. I'm pretty happy with it. I don't think that the camera, the camera's not replacing a GoPro or a Zenmuse, X5. You know, those things are at a much higher level, but it's got a reasonably good camera, and it's really, really easy for me to launch and get the ease. It's, the Mavic Pro has been the easiest drone for me to work with, and I've been flying, crashing, and destroying drones.
I have crashed so many drones. I don't know. I don't want to. I want a drone, but I don't dare buy one.
This one has definitely been the by far the easiest one to work with. There's some funky stuff that you if you haven't used that you have to learn like how to turn it on and stuff like that. It's just an RTFM problem, but it isn't like you just push the button. You got to push the button and then you go let go and then hold it down and you know there's a lot of little things like that. But within 15 minutes after I charged all the batteries, I was flying. You know, now it's just like I fly almost every day with it. You know, somewhere in the world.
I need a Leo safe drone.
Safe. Although you do, you know, and it's got little radar. It's got like, it'll tell you when you're getting close to things. Although I almost backed into a tree and backing up with the drone is, you want to make sure you got enough.
So if I get this software, then you don't drive it at all. You just say, go.
No, you say, I want this information.
Will it avoid trees?
Well, I usually, when I'm mapping from higher than the trees. So a lot of times I'm getting up. And then I go up a little higher from the trees. Like the map that I did, I think the drone was at 250 feet. Your maximum, you know, altitude is 400. Legal altitude is 400 feet. So I haven't.
DJI announced that anybody who bought a Spark has to get the firmware update, or it'll stop working September 1st because they fall out of the sky sometimes.
Well, I don't know. I thought that was a no-fly zone issue.
I thought it was too, but apparently they've had some defects that it will just. It will just go turn off and fall. That would be a problem, right?
I had a Phantom that did that. It was going, it was fine, and then it fell from 20 feet.
But your Mavic Pro has been rock solid.
It has been rock solid. I've been flying it almost every day, and it's been.
And what's the name of this software? The mapping software?
It's called Drone Deploy.
Drone Deploy. All right.
And it's what's crazy is looking at what they're doing. Like they it'll actually look at it'll map it and show you based on the RGB values and whatever else it's pulling in. It's actually mapping the health of the grass. So it's, you know, for agriculture. And so there's a lot of things that, you know, this becomes a much more industrial solution for your drone being able to track construction projects, you know, look at your crops, look at your yard, you know, all that stuff.
That's probably not what Duncan Sinfeld is using for his Apple campus drone.
No, I don't think so. He's probably using an Inspire.
Yeah. X-Wing.
Hey, guys, it's it. That's it. We're done. But thank you so much for being here. Always great to see you, Alex Lindsay at the Pixel Corps. If you want to know what Alex is up to, the best thing to do is to follow him on the Twitter at AlexLindsay.
And we are finally, after all of this stop start, we're gonna open up the Pixel Corps membership again for beta.
October 1st. You're kidding.
Yeah. So we're gonna if you go up and get on the mailing list from the website, just sign up for the interest. That'll be where we only have a limited number of openings. We're gonna send it out to that list first. But it's gonna be mostly focused around live streaming training related to live streaming, AR, VR, that type of thing. I think that there is a interest button there. Yeah, you can fill that out in the interest list. Definitely fill it out. There'll be more of that over the next couple weeks. But we're gonna again send out the blast to everyone from that web page. Well, first to the former members, and then to that list. And so, and then we'll make it more public. But we're pretty excited about it. I think it's gonna be we're gonna dump a lot of information. So
very nice. Should be good. Very nice. Andy Inako, Chicago Sun-Times. His website, his blog, CWOB.com. Also, Andy I on Flickr. And Inako on the Instagram. Good, worth following on Instagram. Ihnatko. That's his Twitter handle also.
Thanks.
Anything else you want to plug?
Nope.
That's it.
Pop it along. Sing a song.
Side by side. And finally, iMore.com's amazing Rene Ritchie. He writes there millions of words every year, but he can also be heard on many of their podcasts. You'll find out more at iMore.com. And I guess you and Andy might get invitations. And
fingers crossed.
Tim Cook willing. Maybe I'll get an invitation by next week. And we'll know a little more on our next episode. If there's going to be an Apple event September 12th, I figure they got to tell us by next week.
They got to tell us by the 11th at least.
Thanks everybody for joining us. If you want to join us in studio, we'd love to have you. We don't. People sometimes come by and say, "I don't want to watch a show. I want a studio tour." There's no such thing. We haven't built the tram yet, but if we ever do, I'll let you know. But for right now, pretty much the way you can come visit us is come to one of the shows, and you can do that by emailing tickets at twit.tv. We'd love to have you. Nice group here today. Yeah, there they are, waving from Orlando, Florida, and from somewhere around here. Pleasanton? Where, you told me. I have it right here on my little card. I'm just not very... You bend over and find that there. Daryl's visiting from Martinez. I don't know why I can never remember that. If you don't want to be in studio but you want to watch the show live, you can do that too because we stream it. All you have to it's on YouTube and you stream and Twitch and everything. But all you have to do really is go to our website, twit.tv/live, and you can pick the stream there, twit.tv/live. Have it running while you're working in the corner there, whatever. If you're going to be watching live, you could also be in the chat room and chat live with us at irc.twit.tv. We'd love that. You can also get on-demand audio and video of this show and everything we do at twit.tv, in this case, twit.tv/MBW. MBW for Mac Break Weekly, or subscribe in Overcast or Pocket Cast or Apple's podcast app. There's plenty of ways to subscribe and get a copy each and every week. So you just don't even have to think about it. It's just there waiting for you to stream on your phone. Thanks for being here. But now I'm sorry to say it's time to get back to work because break time is over. Bye-bye.